Over the past several weeks, we have been considering a series of statements from the lips of Jesus we often call the Beatitudes. They're found at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. This is a section that is often called the Sermon on the Mount. And in these statements, Jesus is pronouncing blessing on certain individuals that make up his kingdom. We have entitled this series, Your Blessed Life Now, seeing that those who are blessed are those who have received something from God. These are not things we're trying to do ourselves, not a to-do list that we try harder. This is, in fact, what God has blessed us with when we choose to follow Christ. And this morning, we've arrived at the last of these Beatitudes. Now, my guess is that as we've gone through this series, you've probably heard these different statements of Jesus, and as we look into the spiritual mirror of God's Word, you say, I could really use more of these characteristics. I could be more helpless in spirit. I could be more heartbroken over my sin and the sin of the world. I could be more humble. I could be more hungry for righteousness. I could be more humane toward others, more holy towards God, more harmonious. But then we get to the final beatitude, which begins in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He goes on in verses 11 and 12. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You say, whoa, wait a minute. I might desire to have some of those other characteristics, but do I really want to be more persecuted? Do I really want to be more harassed? Who in their right mind would want that? How are we to understand this? And the answer to that is very carefully. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones points out, perhaps there is no beatitude where we have to be quite so careful. There is no beatitude that is so liable to misconstruction and misunderstanding. There's certainly no beatitude more frequently misunderstood and misapplied. Therefore, we must approach it with great circumspection and care. This passage has been twisted to say a lot of things that Jesus never meant to be said. And we need to understand what it does not mean as well as what it does mean. Now, we begin, as we have with all of these messages, with the condition for being blessed. And Jesus says that the condition is to be persecuted. We are calling this message, "Blessed are the harassed," those who are suffering for the sake of Jesus. Persecution is defined as the hatred and affliction that follows the witness and holy life of God's people in a hostile world. John Stott adds, "Persecution is simply the clash of two irreconcilable value systems." But why is this? Why is it that the followers of Jesus will always be persecuted? It's because their integrity exposes the world's unrighteousness. It condemns the ungodly world, and they don't like it. When the light is shown on their darkness, they react, and they react in hostility. Now, persecution does not only speak of those who lived in the New Testament times, not even those whose stories have been captured in that classic book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. That's where we tend to think of people who are persecuted. But in fact, this persecution has gone on in every generation, all over the world. Stott points out one example. "Few men of this century," being the 20th century, "have understood better the inevitability of suffering than Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He seems never to have wavered in his Christian antagonism to the Nazi regime, although it meant for him imprisonment, the threat of torture, danger to his own family, and eventually death. He was executed by the direct order of Heinrich Himmler in April 1945 in the Flossenbürg concentration camp, only a few days before it was liberated. It was the fulfillment of what he had always believed and taught. Suffering, he wrote, is the badge of true discipleship. The disciple is not above his master. Discipleship means allegiance to the suffering of Christ, and it is therefore not at all surprising that Christians should be called upon to suffer. In fact, it is a joy and a token of his grace. And to Bonhoeffer can be added numbers of missionaries who laid down their lives in the cause of Christ. Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, and the others killed by the Aka Indians in Ecuador. John and Betty Stamm, missionaries to China. More closer to our time, Martin Burnham, missionary to the Philippines, who with his wife Marcia were kidnapped by Islamic extremists, and he was killed in the rescue attempt. In our own country, not that many years ago, we saw the testimony of 16-year-old Cassie Bernal, who had a shotgun put to her head by a fellow student and said, "Do you believe in God?" And she said, "Yes." And that was the last thing she ever said. The truth is, more Christians were killed for their faith in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined. Now, we don't see that. We don't hear about it. The press is ignoring it. And it's not happening as often in our own country, but it is happening. And it is happening at an alarming rate. Persecution of Christians is also not limited only to those who pay the ultimate sacrifice, who lay down their lives for their Lord. Verse 11 says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things against you because of me." That word persecute means persecute to the end. They'll hunt you down. They will say all kinds of evil things and lies about you. They will assassinate your character. On some extreme occasions, they may take your life. But persecution has a lot of faces. There's a lot of ways in which we can face this harassment. And it's because we are following Christ. And it can happen again and again. Now, does it have to happen to us? Can we live a Christian life and be free from being persecuted? Well, since all the Beatitudes describe what every Christian disciple is intended to be, we can conclude that the condition of being despised and rejected, slandered and persecuted, is as much a normal mark of a Christian as any of the other things we've looked at before. In fact, as I was listening to a sermon that was preached by my home church pastor when I was growing up, he said, when we are living according to those first seven principles in the Beatitudes, the eighth will be true. There will be persecution. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Consider some other passages from Scripture. The words of Jesus in John 15, verses 18 through 21. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Jesus is warning his followers, it's going to happen. Be ready. Be prepared. If we take the name of Jesus with us, there will be harassment awaiting us. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 12, Paul writes to young Timothy in preparing him for some difficult days ahead. Verse 12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There's not much doubt in that verse, is there? It's going to happen. We will be persecuted in one way or another. And then Peter writes these words in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Dear Christians, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear His name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. That last passage particularly addresses the question of whether persecution will happen to the Christian. Kenneth Wiest writes, "These Christians were thinking that the suffering they were enduring was a foreign or an alien thing to their Christian lives, as if Christianity provided some kind of immunity from suffering. They are exhorted by Peter to think it a natural, an expected thing that such suffering for righteousness' sake would come in view of the world's hatred for Christ, and therefore to the one who bears His name and reflects Him in their life." I think if anything should be thought strange, it's the thought of a Christian not being persecuted or harassed by the world. Jesus warned His disciples in Luke 6:26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that's how their fathers treated the false prophets." You kind of see the opposite of the beatitude here. Blessed are you when you're persecuted by the world, because that's how they persecuted the true prophets of God. Be careful when everybody's speaking well of you, because that's how they treated the false prophets. So maybe the lack of persecution ought to be a warning. Maybe we're not standing up for Christ enough if the world is not taking notice. Now, it is fair to say persecution is not evenly distributed across the board. There are some parts of the world that are under severe persecution for being Christian. There are nations in Africa right now where entire congregations have been wiped out. Entire communities of Christians are being slaughtered because of their faith. Pastors are being targeted in particular. And yet you see relative freedom in our own nation and in a few others. In our culture, few are called upon to lay down their lives for Christ. For the most part, people are not arrested here for their faith in Jesus. But we still need to heed this warning. If we're popular with everybody, there's something missing. They either don't know that we're following Christ, or we have become so much like them, we have determined to become politically correct enough not to ruffle any feathers, and the world can't tell the difference. We may think the world is just more tolerant, but in fact, it may be that we're not living intolerable lives, in their opinion. We may not be standing up for Christ enough. True Christians then can expect to face some kind of opposition and difficulty from the world because of their stand for Christ. Do we have to endure persecution as Christians? Perhaps not. Yeah, we can escape. We can go through our whole lives and never be persecuted. All you have to do is approve of the world's standards, accept the world's ethics and morals, live like it does, laugh at its jokes, enjoy its entertainment, smile when they mock God. Don't ever tell a person that they're a sinner. Don't ever tell them that they're lost without Christ. And I promise you, you'll never be persecuted. And if that's your choice, you better examine yourself to see whether or not you truly are in the faith. You may be a Christian who's living in disobedience, or you may not be a Christian at all. Many Christians believe they're being persecuted, but they may not meet the condition that Jesus is talking about here. And too often, we misunderstand those words, "for righteousness' sake." Remember hearing Howard Hendricks one time say that too often we're persecuted for stupidity's sake. We say and do the wrong things, and then when we're harassed, we think we're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Maybe not. Let's make sure that it's for the sake of Christ. It's for the sake of righteousness. This does not mean suffering because we're foolish or imprudent, because we're fanatical or insensitive, because we're fickle or inconsistent, or because we've done something illegal. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, don't suffer as a Christian because you've broken the law. And if you have, don't claim that is because you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's when we are taking a stand for Jesus and for what's right. There is a difference between persecution and punishment. Punishment comes when we break the law and we suffer the consequences. Persecution is when we're harassed for standing up for what's right. I really like how the Amplified Bible renders this phrase, for being and doing right. It deals with both our character and our conduct. Being right, righteous, practicing righteousness, really means being like Jesus. So those who are blessed are those who are persecuted because they're being like him. Doesn't mean we have to be perfect. It does mean that we reflect Christ in our character, who we are, and in our conduct, what we do. So what's the consequence of this blessing in this text? It really does mean, in this case, to be happy. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. The word there in the original Greek means leap for joy. One version even says, be happy and excited, which is so strange when you're talking about being harassed for being a Christian. Usually that's not something to be excited about or thrilled with. And it doesn't mean that we're to enjoy the persecution. We're not called to be some kind of spiritual masochists. We rejoice in the persecution because of what it means and what it does for us. Jesus repeats the blessing of the first beatitude when he says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now again, we don't earn our place in heaven because we're persecuted. What this is saying is that persecution provides proof to the Christian that he or she truly is a child of God. It's something that makes you know for certain that you're saved. Stott uses the phrase, a certificate of Christian authenticity. Oftentimes when you get a computer, or if you get computer software, you have a certificate of authenticity. It shows that it's genuine. And that's what persecution does for the Christian. It shows that our faith is genuine, that we truly are following Christ. Persecution lets us know that we really are Christians standing for Christ in a dark, sinful world. The second cause of rejoicing is the persecution is proof also of where we are going. Rejoice and be glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, every 2 years, we have the Olympics coming around. That's about to happen in Tokyo, and as of last night, the games are still on. You have either the Summer or the Winter Olympics every 2 years. And for many years, these athletes train and practice vigorously. They're enduring all kinds of pain and suffering in their preparation for those Olympic Games. Now, do you think they do that because they enjoy the pain and the agony of practice and all of these things that go with it? No. They have their eye on a prize. They have a goal. For some of them, the goal is to make it to the Olympics. They want to represent their country. They want to get on that Olympic squad. Others have their goal set on the medal stand. They want to place first, second, or third and bring home a medal from the games. And your top athletes are satisfied with nothing less than the gold. Now, these athletes, they embody discipline and endurance. Even though the vast majority of them don't even make it to the Olympics, and most of the Olympic athletes don't win a medal, let alone the gold medal, and yet they endure, and they persevere, and they practice, and they put themselves through vigorous training, sometimes painful. How much greater for us, knowing that we have an eternal reward. We aren't going to go through all of that struggle, all of that discipline, all of that training, and come up short. Jesus says there is a reward for every believer who is faithful to Christ. Now, unfortunately with Christians, we don't find that kind of perseverance. We don't find that kind of dedication. A.W. Tozer points out, to accept this truth requires a tough-mindedness, a spiritual maturity that modern Christians simply do not possess. To face up to it hardly contributes to that peace of mind after which our religious weaklings bleat so plaintively. For myself, I long ago decided that I would rather know the truth than be happy in ignorance. If I cannot have both truth and happiness, give me truth. We'll have a long time to be happy in heaven. Do we share that sentiment? Are we willing to endure suffering, persecution, insults, ridicule, people even lying about us because we are Christians? Make no mistake about it, those who stand for Jesus will face the snickers and the sneers, the isolation, the injustice, and maybe even the attacks of an unbelieving world. If you live a life marked by being poor in spirit, mournful over sin, meek, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaking, you're going to face opposition of some kind. It may be life-threatening. In our culture, it probably won't be, but it will certainly be difficult. It'll not be easy. The question is it worth it? You bet it is. I love the way that Max Lucado writes in his book, The Applause of Heaven. Before you know it, your appointed time will come. You'll descend down the ramp and enter the city. You'll see faces that are waiting for you. You'll hear your name spoken by those who love you. And maybe, just maybe, in the back, behind the crowds, the one who would rather die than live without you will remove his pierced hands from his heavenly robe and applaud. The applause of heaven. Hearing those words from our Savior, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Finally being transformed into the Lord's perfect image, spending eternity with Christ and with Christ's followers. That's worth any difficult time we may face, anything that the world can dish out. We are blessed when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake because it proves that we truly belong to Him. And that talks about our blessed life now and our blessed life later. If we want to be a follower of Jesus, it's not always going to be easy, but I guarantee you it's always going to be worth it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for these teachings of Jesus that describe for us our blessed life now. Blessed not because we have accomplished certain things, but because we have received these things from you. Now, I understand that this last beatitude we don't receive from your hand. The persecution and harassment comes from the enemy and from those who do not approve of our trust in you. But we also know that you can take what they mean for evil and you can work it out for good. And we can wear their harassment proudly as a badge of our faith. They recognize that we're different from them. They recognize that we have an allegiance to Jesus, and they don't like it. Father, I pray that you would give us courage. Pray that you would give us boldness. Give us endurance. Help us to rejoice when the world reviles us, knowing that it's just proof that we are yours. Strengthen us, I pray. Give us the mind of Christ as we go and face an ungodly world. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.